Next on BYU Sports Nation, who are the best BYU football players over the last 25 seasons? Today we fire up a fantasy draft to the best of the best. ESPN's Matt Berry details why he's not concerned about Kalani Sitake and BYU and what changes he would make to college football.
Suli Davis of BYU Women's Volleyball is in studio to recap that silver medal performance at the U19 World Championships. And an incoming BYU freshman wins Gatorade Female Player of the Year Award at the ESPYs? Are you kidding me?
It's amazing.
To that too.
Let's go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, July 17th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is awards show consultant Dave McCann.
Well, there was a big one last night with the ESPYs, and Jane Hedegren, the incoming distance runner for BYU, wins an ESPY. What's going on with this freshman class?
It's unbelievable.
They're everywhere. And last night, she was in the spotlight. She set the national records in the mile, which made her in the 3-2000.
Basically, every distance race.
She won and was in the national spotlight last night, winning an ESPY.
And how about the incoming freshman class? So she's National Female High School Player of the Year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Think of the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of high school athletes. You think about A.J. DeBonta, obviously. He's mm-hmm. thrown a first pitch out at Fenway Park. Charlie Voss was the national champion high school cross country. He's joining the men's cross country team, both national champs, by the way, men and women, for BYU. Suli Davis, we're going to talk to her later, as you mentioned, on the U19 national team. Corbin Bautista was on the U19 national team in men's volleyball. Trey Thornton, first-team All-American there. How about these freshmen coming into BYU? As Brian Santiago, the new athletic director, said, there's never been a better time to be at BYU. Awesome to see her on.
These teams across the board that are excelling are being led by juniors and seniors in many cases.
Yes.
And then here comes the rush of the next generation, and they are the best of the best. And that's cool. And, yeah, getting an ESPY last night.
That's pretty cool. And it wasn't like they just like, hey, oh, by the way, this happened. There was like, here they are, and the winner is. It was a big deal.
Good
so congratulations
her.
To Jane.
It's great.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
A first down, and more. Hurdles his way. Highlight reel. Jason on his feet, 35, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Down to the goal line, and caught!
Let's it go. Find the spot. Touchdown!
Can you believe Y2K was 25 years ago? Charlie Stein in that SportsCenter commercial just bashing TVs in the control room. No, absolutely not. For the oldest of BYU students, they may have barely been born. Most haven't been born. And here we are in 2025. So today we are going to do an all quarter century BYU football fantasy draft. Dave versus me. Let's go. We will draft one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, a flex, a kicker, a team defense, for players that played at BYU 2000 season to now. Once we draft our players, we'll post them on social media. You can decide whose team is better. So here we go. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
It's going to be fun.
There's a lot to choose from.
This is great July content as
yes,
we wait for fall camp.
That's exactly what this is.
So let's start. Dave, you pick first. We'll do snake draft format. We will go by certain positions in a row. That makes it a little easier on our staff, let's be honest. Yeah. Let's start with quarterback.
Well, let's put all our cards on the table. Sophie, could you just I just want to know what you're up against.
You brought a trophy, and look at that.
Thank you. This right
here. Is
this
your little league something?
This is the McCann Family Fantasy Football Championship
Very nice.
Trophy.
Very nice.
And if you notice,
can
there at the
here?
Bottom.
Dave.
Yeah.
You won in 2017.
And?
2024.
Defending champ.
So basically every 7 years.
Yeah, so that's what we pass around.
Chairman of the Victory Committee.
Yeah,
very nice.
That's what I am.
Very
chairman
nice.
Of the Victory Committee.
Mild heft.
So I just want you to... Yeah, I just want you to know before things get crazy.
Nice. Thanks, Sophie. That's what's
that,
up.
That's how we're.
That's what's up for grabs.
No, you don't get that.
Oh.
I'm just showing you what you're up against.
I couldn't borrow that for a day. Guard Young let me take a silver medal around for an
Guard
afternoon.
Guard Young is a better man than me. No, that goes back to the house under security. I just barely brought it out just to show this.
Pretty shiny.
All right, so a quarterback. So when you think of the top quarterbacks of the last 25 years and you look at the stats, you go, okay, there's Max and there's John and those numbers are crazy. But in fantasy football, rushing touchdowns are more valuable than passing touchdowns. So if you can find a guy who can do both, you should go get him. And I think you know where we're going.
That was
going
to be my first pick.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
It's going to be my fantasy quarterback for our team. What did Taysom Hill do? Basically anything he wanted, especially when he was playing Texas. But he had 43 passing touchdowns, 32 rushing touchdowns, and 9,754 yards of total offense. He's a fantasy football juggernaut, even going up against guys who threw for 11,000 yards and 90-plus touchdowns. I'm going with a guy who can score on the ground and through the air. Taysom Hill's my quarterback.
That would have been my first pick, too. My favorite stat about Taysom is the following. He never lost a game by three scores. It was always two scores or less. He was in the game. Yeah. He gave BYU a chance. I never felt like BYU was totally out of a game when Taysom Hill was quarterback. I love that pick, and I can't stand you for it. John Beck or Max Hall would be the next pick. Either one. I'm going with John. Sorry, Max. He can make all the throws. Obviously, super clutch with Beck to Harlene. That senior year was real special for John. Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year, as James Bates said soon after in this call. Finds his guy, touchdown. What a player. What a guy. Brought BYU back after, you know, three losing seasons. They figure it out in 05-06. That's a really special team. And they start to go on this run. Max Hall after that. I very easily could have picked Max here, too.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll go with John Beck.
John's a gamer. Look at those numbers. Max not too far behind with 11,000 passing yards and 94 touchdowns. But Beck was 79. He was mobile. He could skip around. And
when his ankles weren't sprained, he had some mobility.
Yeah. Okay, so the quarterbacks are in.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I feel great about it. I mean, when there's only two of us, we're going to be loaded here.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not like, oh, man, I got the fifth guy.
That's why you just find a little edge.
Yep.
What's going to put it over the top?
Yep.
So now let's move to running back, a very, very important position in fantasy football.
Okay, BYU in this last quarter century, these are some of the greatest. I mean, if you list the top 10, you probably have six or seven of the top 10.
Right.
It's been a great quarter century for running backs. There is one man who I believe is still the GOAT. He's the only man to win the national award for this. A white running back from BYU won the Doak Walker Award. Luke Staley is my pick because in 2001, he goes for 8 yards per carry, Dave. Eight! He wins the Doak. He and Brandon Doman and Reno Mahe are one of the best trios in BYU history. If Luke does not break his leg against Mississippi State, do they beat Hawaii? Do they continue that run?
Probably would have went undefeated, let's be honest.
Right? They weren't going to get to the Fiesta Bowl, but do they win the Liberty Bowl and they finish undefeated and have this amazing year? That season was incredible. And you think about that in the modern context, it's just unbelievable what he did. Led the nation in scoring yards per carry. A BYU running back.
Yeah, and it was tough. It was a double whammy. Breaks his ankle. Remember, the Mississippi game was pushed back to the end of the season because of 9/11.
Yeah.
Breaks his ankle. They come back home. They find out he's out for the year, and the BCS releases them, despite them being 12-0. And it's like
then
a double
Hawaii
punch
game yet. Is a cluster.
So
they give up the most points they've ever given up in a game.
In 2025, though, we're in the Big 12 and with a shot at the playoffs. So yep. Things have changed. All right, my pick for running back is Harvey Unga. And there's two reasons why I love Harvey. One, he runs with power, and he gets yards, and he gets rushing touchdowns, 36 of them, in fact. Ran for 3,455 yards. That was the most for a long time at BYU. But here's the other fact I was looking at for Harvey. He caught 9 touchdown passes and had over 1,000 receiving yards. So
that's
here's another guy that can score in a variety of ways, which you love in fantasy football. Harvey can catch and run. You can give him the ball at the goal line. You're not keeping him out. So I've got Harvey Unga as my starting running back for the McCann fantasy football team. Look at those numbers.
Love that pick. Harvey's an all-timer. Harvey's a great dude, too. Okay.
Okay, another running back.
This next pick, oh, man, I got several great options here. And the guy that I'm going to go with is the single-season rushing record holder at BYU. Or, sorry, Dave, you go again. Good thing I didn't pick because
it's my pick?
It's Dave's pick. We're going Snake.
Oh, so
boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, okay. Well, I had a feeling you were going to go with Tyler on that.
Well, I said the single season.
So I'm going to go with Jamal Williams.
Nice.
I'm not going to trump
you. No, you can take it. It's your pick.
No, I like Jamal because he's got 35 rushing touchdowns, 3,901 yards rushing. That's number one, last I checked. And he also could catch the ball, 557 receiving yards, but just the one touchdown through the air. So Jamal Williams, if I have to, I can go to the Lions and borrow some of his touchdowns from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But here's a guy you want in the locker room, you want on your team.
Yes.
Jamal Williams is my pick for my second running back.
Oh. Jamal's so good. I mean, there's no going wrong here with these running backs. I'll go with Tyler Allgeier. What he did in 2021, the single season record, 1601. They played seven Power 5 teams. It wasn't like it was an easy schedule. He goes 1601 yards per carry for a career. He's 6.4, Dave, which is just a stupid number. Former linebacker. Remember, he started as a linebacker early in his career. He's a walk-on. He's working night shifts at Walmart in Orem. He's on the Falcons now.
Great story.
Making that NFL money. So
occasionally he makes great defensive plays.
Right?
Which should be able to get you some extra points.
That play has value too. That's a great point. Tyler Allgeier is my running back pick.
All right. So Staley, Unga, Williams, and Allgeier. No-brainers, but hey, they're not all on the same team today. They're on our respective battles.
Yes.
So I like how things are coming together.
I think our team is going to be very similar in how awesome they are. There's a lot of great players. Okay. Snake draft, I go again.
You got the receiver.
Wide receiver. I have said that I believe this guy is still the GOAT. Despite him being passed in receptions, reception yards, touchdowns, but he did all his stuff in 3 years. That is Austin Colley, a member of our BYU TV staff. Love Austin. He is the GOAT. One-handers, notably, stiff arms, Colorado State, Utah State stick out. He was battling Michael Crabtree in 2008 as best receiver in the country, and he is the GOAT, a wide receiver. I take Austin Colley with my first pick.
Love Austin Colley.
Loved watching him play. 2004, he's a freshman. He has an impact. He comes back in 2007 and 2008, and he's making touchdown after touchdown. Remember that Tulsa game, albeit in a loss, where he had like 250 all-purpose yards with kickoff returns? I love that play, that stiff arm. I love this one, too. Wheels around. Get off me. Touchdown.
You'll see Austin all season long on game day. He often reminds us how good he is still.
He deserves it.
And the video backs it up. So that's an awesome pick. For my first pick at receiver, I'm going to go, again, it's about touchdowns in fantasy football, so I'm going to go to the guy who has the most, and that's Cody Hoffman. Largely because of how good he was at the flag football game earlier in the spring. He's
still got it.
But Cody Hoffman is my number one pick at receiver. 33 touchdowns. A lot of those Blaine and I called back when we had more of the games. And, man, he was so much fun to watch. 2,612 receiving yards. And he could make the most difficult catches look super easy, at least super easy for him. Cody Hoffman is going to suit up for Team McCann. How about those numbers right there?
50 games played. I mean, durable, gave you a ton of production. And I'm happy, that you got Hoffman because he is a baller.
Okay, now look, so I've got the next pick, too, at receiver. And this is where things can get tricky. Because you've got the obvious ones, and then you get down into the weeds, and you go, well, what about this, and what
about
that?
There's an obvious one here.
I'm going to go with Puka Nacua.
You should.
And Puka also scored on the ground and through the air. He had 19 career touchdowns. I think five or six of them were runs. We didn't see a lot of him. You know, he was banged up. But when we did see him, he was phenomenal. And Puka Nacua is going to line up for Team McCann. 1,700 receiving yards at both BYU and Washington combined. And he was a human highlight reel. And the Rams are finding out. On third down and 9, you just find out where Puka is. He gets you a first down.
And they didn't want to pay Cooper Kupp because they have Puka.
Yeah.
He's that big of a deal for the Rams now. And he has become a better receiver in the NFL than he was in college. That's incredible. Steve Young did that as well. Steve was a very good player, number 2 in the Heisman at BYU. Ends up winning the Super Bowl, 2-time MVP with the Niners. Okay, that's a good haul for you of Cody and Puka. My fourth one is a guy that barely qualifies. He played 97 to 2000. So
just
I get him because of his senior year. It's Margin Hooks.
Oh, yeah, it's a good
Margin Hooks qualifies. 5th in receiving yards in BYU history. Crazy shorthanded. That 80-yard touchdown against Utah sticks out. Super consistent. Led the Mountain West in 1999 as a junior. He is a guy that is coaching a lot of future Cougs, too, because he's a wide receivers coach. He's doing great work at Sky's the Limit on Twitter. Margin Hooks is my second wide receiver pick.
Love that pick, and a phenomenal player. And, you know, on the short list of who was just left out, they could show up in the flex. But Dax Milne would have been another one where you're going, hey,
yep.
In 1 year he showed us that he's an NFL guy and was awesome.
Yep.
All right, let's move to tight end, and I've got that pick. And I'm going to go against the grain here because usually you just look at who's got the most touchdowns. But you can't not pick Dennis Pitta. Sorry, Dennis over there.
I wanted Dennis.
I got plenty of time for you
over
here.
When his helmet stayed on, he was spectacular.
Dennis Pitta with 21 touchdowns, 2,901 receiving yards. He was a gamer. He was a big play guy. And there were great tight ends at BYU. In fact, the list is pretty long, but I think Dennis, for this team that I'm putting together, Dennis fits what we're looking for.
I'm going to appeal to the committee right now, live on the air. I believe this should be my pick. Okay, this is actually my pick, and I picked Dennis Pitta. Sorry, Dave.
Well, I thought it was your pick,
I know.
But then I was told it was my pick.
Well, I like Dennis so much, I'm going to appeal, and okay. I now make this my
pick.
So
Dennis has now moved over to Jeremy.
Everyone thinks I can't stand
now
Dennis. I love Dennis.
You've got time for Dennis over
I've
there
got time for Dennis. All the things you said are right. I love Dennis. The NCAA career leader in receptions, receiving yards by a tight end. I mean, not just BYU stuff. What he did in the NCAA. So okay. I'll happily take Dennis.
So okay. So on a technicality, Dennis has moved over.
Yes.
Moved over.
You
to
now
you.
Get two picks.
And I'm going to go with Isaac Rex.
Nice.
I'm going to go back to my. You know, when there was Johnny Harleen and all that stuff. But Isaac Rex has 24 touchdowns. And in fantasy football, you want a guy who can get in the end zone, and he's got the school record. When healthy, he was a beast. 1,385 receiving yards. Again, those 24 touchdowns. So I'm not drafting Isaac Rex, who broke his ankle against USC.
You're drafting 2020
I'm
Isaac Rex?
I'm drafting Isaac that, when healthy, was the best tight end in the country. And finishing again with a school record 24. That's three more than Dennis. Sorry, Dennis, but Isaac is moving over to my side of the
if
roster.
If only Austin would have shared some of those receiving touchdowns with Dennis a little bit.
Yeah.
So your pick again.
Okay,
this on the flex. So
we'll
it can be
flex.
Running back or tight end or receiver.
So as I scanned the last 25 years, I thought to myself, who's going to get me more touchdowns? Lapini Katoa is going to get me more touchdowns. He had 27.
Wow. He did have a lot of touchdowns.
27 touchdowns.
Lapini.
And I had to check the numbers. I checked them twice.
Lapini Katoa,
and
nice.
I started looking around, and I thought, you know what? He made one of the greatest catches in school history in the
so good.
Boca Raton Bowl. But the 27 at the top, when you have a flex in a fantasy, you go, well, who can get me in the end zone? Well, Lapini Katoa can get you in the end zone. He did it 27 times. So Lapini is my flex pick.
Mm.
That surprise you?
It does surprise me. He's not one of the kind of bigger names among these positions, but what he did in terms of versatility, here's the catch against UCF. I mean, and that's in a scattered stadium. I was in there, and it was like, oh, I mean, everyone, even the UCF fans were like, whoa, that was crazy. That's a great pick. I like that because he can do whatever you need.
Yeah.
He can do whatever you need.
I'm curious to see what you're coming
up with. Okay, I've got options here, and I'm there's three guys I'm really thinking about. But the guy that I'm going to go with is Johnny Harleen. I'm going to go with Johnny Harleen. If I need a clutch play in the red zone, if I need a touchdown, he's a touchdown machine.
It.
If I need it against the rival Utah, in 06, three touchdowns. And he's being guarded by Eric Weddle, who had an unbelievable NFL career. Touchdown after touchdown for Johnny Harleen. Also, he can shred on guitar. That's something he brings to the locker room,
that's
Dave.
True. That's true. That's
of
Friday
course,
night.
Back to Harleen, my flex pick.
He's got a band.
Is
they can
Johnny
take care of Friday
Harleen.
Night.
Just awesome. And, of course, look at that picture. Oh, the one-hander.
Yeah,
spectacular.
Those are great numbers for Harleen. Nice pick.
Okay, we go to kicker.
All right. And I believe you're up. Am I up or you're up? I believe you're up.
You go two in a row, so I'm up. Okay. This guy, you know, maybe there's recency bias, but what we saw this last year was unbelievable in terms of clutch in massive games against SMU and notably against Utah. I go with the mustached man, Will Farron, my pick for kicker. There were others that totally could have gone with. But when you beat Utah on a 44-yarder, which is also your jersey number, and you beat SMU, it goes to the playoffs, you are the best kicker
of the
last quarter.
He made his last 16
century.
Kicks of the year.
That's pretty good. Will Farron, baby. Also, his wife is a elementary school teacher at the elementary school that my son goes to.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of the family.
So I think that
Mrs. Farron.
You have to factor in everything.
She might have been Tate's first grade teacher. She switched to fifth grade. I'm super bummed.
He may be the best kicker that ever kicked at BYU. Eager to see what Will does this season. I'm going to go with the greatest kicker ever to kick at BYU. I'm going to go with Owen Potchman. Oh. He kicked 64 field goals.
Owen Potchman. I thought you were going to say Matt Payne.
64. Now, if I wanted the meanest kicker, I would go with Matt Payne because he could lay the hit. But Owen Potchman hit 64 field goals. So I talk about automatic.
How about the lack of red zone execution for those teams? Is that what you just told me?
You just factor in, can the guy
Why is this
kicks?
Picture in black and white if it was in the late 90s or 2000?
Well, because we went.
What is it, from 1948?
He just got in the 2000 group. But look at that, 66 field goals, percentage is good. He had distance as long as 56. And how about those kicking points? Okay, that's the kind of guy you want on your fantasy team. So I've got Owen Potchman. Ready for defense?
I am ready.
Defense is challenging, right? Defense can really help your team or it can really kill your team.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go with the obvious choice here, which is last year's defense.
Okay.
If you were going first, I was going old school. But I'm going to go last year because of what they did. 22 interceptions, tied Texas for the most in the country. They allowed just over 19 points a game. Team went 11-2. It wasn't their fault that they didn't win more. They were fantastic in the bowl game against the Heisman Trophy winner and Dion, who was on the sideline. This group right here, the 2024 defense, against the Big 12, was about as good as we've ever seen. And so I'm signing them up.
It's a great one. It's the second best choice you could have made. The best choice for me is a team that featured 7 future NFL players and 1 Major League Baseball player.
Are you going 2003?
2012 is my pick. Daniel Sorensen,
okay.
Ziggy, Kyle Van Noy, Bronson Cafusi, Spencer Adley, Alani Fua, Wani Unga, and oh, by the way, Jacob Hanneman, who ends up playing in the majors,
right,
is on that team as well. He didn't play a ton. But 2012's defense.
I think he was on the Cubs.
Was it? Yeah, Cubs, and he debuted with the Mariners. So both our teams, which is kind of awesome. They were really good. It was a younger group.
Yeah.
Offensively. Frankly, I've thought about this season, Dave, is it 2012-ish? There were more weapons probably on this offensive group for BYU going into 25. But can the defense help that quarterback, whoever it is, to win enough games? They went 8-5, but they showed us a lot.
Yeah.
And eventually, when the dust settled, you look at that group and you go, oh my gosh, look at all those guys. So look at our teams.
If we didn't do those two, I was going 2003.
There were some great ones there too. Aaron Francisco, Brady Papinga, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, David Nixon, he tipped me off.
Of course David would say that. David's going to be mad I didn't mention him first.
All right, let's look at these teams.
Okay, so my team, John Beck finds his guy, Luke Staley, Tyler Algier, running backs, Austin Colley, Margin Hooks, wide receiver, Dennis Pitta, tight end, my flex was Johnny Harleen, Will Farron, and then the 2012 defense. I feel great about this squad.
Feel good. That's an awesome team that win a lot of games. Here's what I've got, and I feel really good about this team in a fantasy football setting. Taysom Hill can score on the ground through the air. Harvey Unga can run and catch. Jamal Williams runs and runs and runs. Hoffman has the most touchdowns in school history. Puka's a lightning rod. Isaac Rex has the most touchdowns for a tight end in school history. Lapini Katoa has 27 touchdowns. And Owen Potchman kicked 64 field goals. I like this group.
That's awesome. This is fun. We need to do this in the future and have a few more guys as well.
Yeah, make a little challenge.
Because then it's a little more challenge.
Let's say listers.
The fourth or fifth guy, you know, maybe he's not as good as the first guy. But our poll question of the day is this. Who has the better all-quarter century BYU football fantasy team, myself or Dave? You get to decide. We'll weigh in with those poll results later in the show and throughout the day. You can weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
We hope as you watched that you thought to yourself, no, here's who I would have done.
Yep.
Or those picks are
genius.
That was
genius. A terrible pick.
Those guys have their hand on the pulse of things. All right. Join us tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation special. Speaking of great players and great eras, it's Remembering the 90s. Noon Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio. Yeah, that's Ty and a whole bunch of wins.
That'd be a fantasy draft too right there, man. Up next, ESPN's Matt Barry goes one-on-one with Spencer at Big 12 Football Media Days about his expectations for the Cougars and what changes he would like to see made to college football. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We welcome you back inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus.
This is still going to be one of the best rosters and most talented teams.
His leadership is off the charts. It's next level.
I think BYU credentializes this conference. You guys are a national brand.
Thank you, Kamish. We appreciate it. We're live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Well, ESPN's College Football Final is a staple for many college football fans on Saturday nights as they want to know what happened throughout that day. I love that show. Matt Barry is the host of it. He makes it fun. Spencer Linton spoke with him about his outlook on the Cougars this fall and how he'd fix the college football playoff selection.
Matt, great to have you back on BYU Sports Nation. This is interview 316 for Matt today. So
the best one. That's my favorite one.
It wasn't that long ago you were calling Thursday Night Football and you were at BYU. And you got to know Kalani Sitake and BYU on another level. What makes you feel like, even though there's a tricky situation at quarterback, that BYU can still be competitive in this year's Big 12?
Well, they have a great defense, and as Kalani will tell you, like everybody in BYU's history wants to talk about the offense, but it's always been the toughness of the defense that has kind of separated them and kept the program to who and what they are traditionally. The defense is going to be great. We had Isaiah on with us earlier, just a great kid, wonderful kid, talking about what he likes about coming out of high school as a receiver. And I was like, you know what, we should get you an offensive package. But bottom line, defense is going to set the table. Then they got Chase, one of the best receivers in the league. And I really believe that if your leadership structure is sound at the right positions, the ones where you've got a new player are going to take care of itself. And he's high. I think Kalani, as you guys know this, he's high on the other quarterbacks on the roster. One of them is going to compete. And what happens in a competition? It brings out the best in someone. And so it could be a blessing in disguise. You may have had an entrenched starter, but now you're going to find out with one of these three which one is going to step up. And with the surrounding pieces, I think BYU again is in store for another good season. I really do.
Your good friend Brock Osweiler, who again you were working with all day today, told me a few hours ago, maybe it's just because, and these are his words, maybe it's just because I'm optimistic, but I don't think there's going to be a drop-off for BYU if, to your point, you can find a guy who can distribute it to the weapons and that defense can do what they do. Is that too much of a hot take?
I don't think so. Again, it's where you're solid. Where is your foundation? Where is your leadership? Where are your veteran players? And, yeah, everyone wants a veteran quarterback. But we've seen it time and time again that if you've got a guy that can run the offense with the way it's structured, you've got a good running game and a reliable receiver, you can do what you want. And I think that's where BYU is. Would they love to have the veteran quarterback? Of course. No one's saying the Retzlaff situation isn't good. Is it not good? I mean, it's not good. But if you have a player that separates himself and the team selects, one of the biggest misnomers in sports, the coach doesn't select the quarterback, the team selects the quarterback. And whoever the team rallies around, I think Brock's dead on. I mean, they were 11-2 last year, tied for first in the Big 12, tiebreaker didn't go their way, fine. I believe they are one of five or six teams in the league, BYU, that can win it. I really do.
Matt Barry of ESPN with us on BYU Sports Nation. When you listen to Commissioner Yormark talk about the Big 12's position for the college football playoff and the current construct, where he says, look, right now, might not be great if we actually went to a five AQs plus 11 at large, but we feel like it eventually will be the best thing for us. Do you buy into that it's the best for the Big 12?
Look, we were talking about it, that of any league in the country, I mean, seriously, let's have this conversation about any conference in the country, who's the deepest? It's the Big 12, and it's not even close. It's not even remotely close that I could say half the league could win it, right? So what happens in that situation? It's a cannibalizing effect, where everyone beats up on each other. You might be a really deep league, but you might have a lot of 9-3 teams. Well, how is a 9-3 team with a bunch of them going to look at a college football playoff format? Because as we know, the committee's enamored by record. Well, our records aren't created equal. I'll take a 9-3 Big 12 team over a 12-0 team that plays in a lesser conference any day of the week. And so we've got to find a way to where everyone's playing the same amount of conference games across the country. So every league, either playing 8 or 9, part one. Part two, you get rid of these garbage non-conference games, and everybody finds a way to play another Power Four. Then when we're looking at resumes, and you see a 10-2 and a 9-3, it's like, well, that 9-3 team, everyone played the same amount of conference games, but they also played Clemson out of league, they played Mississippi State, they played Michigan State. Now we're talking that it could benefit the league, but right now it's interesting because it's so competitively balanced. We might get to a conference championship this year where there's a 10-2 against a 9-3. And the 9-3 team might be good, but the committee might say, they're 9-3, you know. And so I think he's right in that eventually I think it'll shake out. But right now, with the way the league's structured, it would be tough.
Now, you as an Arizona State grad had every right to celebrate the fact that the Sun Devils were picked 16th last year and won the conference. Incredible. We're this close to taking out Texas in the Peach Bowl. Yeah. I guess my follow-up question to that is, do you feel like because Arizona State was picked 16th, that in Commissioner Yormark's words, it actually hurt their perception?
Absolutely. I mean, I saw it firsthand. I called their week three game against Texas State, and I'm in studio every Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. to college football final. I can tell you how many Arizona State highlights were on for the first half of the season. None. And then all of a sudden, the Kansas State game happened, and there was a little bit of momentum, and Cam Scataboo was having all these crazy highlights, and Sam Levitt started to take off. It's like, well, we better start paying attention to the Sun Devils. They're actually in contention to win the Big 12. And to me, it's my biggest pet peeve in college football. Of all the things I love about the sport, preseason polls, rankings, they're garbage. They mean nothing. There are teams that are ranked in the top 10 that won't sniff the top 40 at the end of the season. But they get the benefit of the doubt of being the top 10 team. Here's the other thing about them. If you find a team that comes up the rankings in the season, like, oh, they got a top five win early in the season. Well, yeah, well, where's that top five team now that was preseason ranked top five? They're 35th. And so, yeah, early season perception hurts everyone, just like it helps teams that are overranked. And so I'm glad they got rid of the preseason poll. I think it's sometimes they're just lazy and no one does their research. So for me, let's just start with a clean slate. I think Yormark said it today. Just do the – oh, no, it was the coaches. It was in the coaches' roundtable. Do the first rankings when the college football playoff rankings come out. And then we'll figure out who's really good.
So you mean any national poll, wait until the first week in November?
How about just give me a month? Let me see who's really good. Because how many times have we seen USC being the top 10 and they end up being garbage by Ben October? Give me a month. Give me four games. Give me some body of work to if I really think that this team is any good. And then we'll have an informed opinion. Until then, it's just paper and stuff for people to yell about.
All right. Finally, yeah. In the spirit of Arizona State, who do you feel like is the team that is way off the radar this year in the Big 12 that could surprise some folks by the end of the season?
See, I came in thinking Texas Tech, but as I learned throughout our 5 hours of TV today, they're not overlooked by anyone. I think that they are so talented, and they're a team you need to watch. I think Baylor, with Sawyer coming back, with Dave Aranda figuring out that defense, they're a team to watch. Kansas State and Avery Johnson, they're a team to watch. BYU, 11-2, they're a team to watch. Is Dampier going to be the transfer portal star of the year at Utah? So they're really – I think that's another thing Arizona State did is it kind of took the dark horse away from everyone because that's never going to happen again. And maybe Oklahoma State for the simple fact that just by math, at 21 years, Mike Gundy's not going to do what he did last year and go winless in the conference. So maybe Oklahoma State. But at the end of the day, it goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. I don't think there's a team 16. Now, Rich Rod might have a tough time coming back because the roster turnover, Scott Frost, roster turnover, 68-plus new players. That could be the case there. Arizona struggled a little bit last year, but they got a veteran quarterback. So maybe one of those three if they get things going, but it's just such a deep league. I don't think there's going to be any team that's just like garbage and just doesn't do anything.
I would like to compliment you for crushing interview number 316, roughly speaking. This is the kind of journalism you get from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism.
Walter Cronkite School. There's a bunch of Cronkiters running around here. I mean, we're all over the place. But it is Big 12 Media Days, and it is a Big 12 school, so that's why we dominate the joint.
Matt, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You bet. Anytime.
For more interviews from the Big 12 Media Days, they're waiting for you at BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel. All our content is on demand.
Still to come, Yegor Deman goes off in the last 3 minutes for the Nets, plus a new hire on the BYU football staff. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Incoming freshman distance runner Jane Hedegren. Hedegren picked up the 2025 Gatorade Best Female Player of the Year award at the ESPYs last night.
Wow.
Hedegren set three national high school records last year in the 3,000 meters, 5,000 meters, and the mile. The Tempe star was also the high school cross-country national champion. Oh, and by the way, she's joining the defending national champion.
Super-duper star. Yeah. I mean, she is legit. BYU safety Tanner Wall, also legit, named as a candidate to the All-State AFCA Good Works team, which recognizes student-athletes for their exemplary community service, academic dedication, and impact on the field. Tanner is perhaps the most well-rounded person I've ever met. Wall started all 13 games for BYU last year, tied for the team lead with three picks.
BYU football announced the promotion of Josh Weir to Director of Football Equipment Operations. He previously was an assistant equipment manager for the Cougs, replacing now Josh Hewitt, who took the same job over at UNLV.
BYU football announces season tickets are sold out for the 25 season. That went quick.
Wow.
Individual tickets for home games, except for Utah, go on sale July 23rd. By the way, 24/7 Sports moved BYU's 2026 recruiting class up one spot to number 20 after upgrading another Cougar commit to four-star status. Tight end, congratulations. Also of note, women's soccer and women's volleyball season tickets are currently on sale.
They are playing next month. You can get a ticket. Yegor Geoman, 14 points, 5 rebounds for the Nets in a 94-90 win over the Magic at the NBA Summer League. Boy, I watched those last few minutes. He hit 3 threes and was money. But I loved his attitude dunk that came earlier in the game. And it was a big day for Yegor. They're back in action against the Sixers tomorrow. And then they start their Summer League tournament. But it was good to see him having fun.
Absolutely. He's playing very good. It's awesome to see. Former BYU basketball sharpshooter Trevin Nell, who Geoman mentioned the other day, was named to the roster for the USA 3x3 basketball's Team DC that will be competing at the Pristina Challenger in Pristina, Kosovo this weekend. Congrats to Trevin.
Isn't it amazing where basketball can take you?
Literally, sports all over the world. It's amazing.
Kendall Rogers of D1 Basketball.
Baseball
reported yesterday that BYU pitching coach Abe Alvarez will be leaving the Cougars and return to his alma mater at Long Beach State in the same position. Wishing Abe the very best. Creates a very important spot now for Trent Pratt to fill for the Cougars.
After the break, BYU freshman volleyball player Suli Davis is in the house to talk about the silver medal at the U19 World Championships for Team USA. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Dave McCann, Jerem Jordan here. Most kids who are in college during the summer, they might go home, hang out with the family, do an internship, may travel internationally. In the case of our next guest, she traveled internationally and was named best outside hitter at the U19 World Championships. She is freshman Suli Davis of the women's volleyball team. Suli, welcome back to the United States and congratulations on a great tournament.
Thank you so much. Hello, Sports Nation.
Okay, you got the silver medal, which is amazing. You got the best outside hitter trophy over here as well. How would you summarize the experience at the U19s?
Oh, my goodness. I loved it. Like, everything about the experience was just super, super special to me. Wearing USA on my chest. And
we like the swag. Looks good.
With pride, yeah. Oh, I traded a lot of, like, my shirts and stuff, but I had to keep this. I was like, no, I need to keep this. But, yeah, it's just something very, very special to me. Like, first time actually traveling with the team and then experiencing other teams, and then it's a world championship. These teams, like, they train for years together for this team. And then for us, it's like we get 1 week to train with each other, 1 week of trying out, and then 2 weeks of a tournament that we're trying to figure out how to win. And we went to second place, so... Yeah, it was really, really, I don't know, such a growing and learning experience for me.
Your association with BYU is just starting, right?
Yes.
Coming through this association with the United States, your country that you love, how impactful is it to represent?
Oh, my gosh, it almost makes me, like, emotional, just, like, being here has helped me so much, even just with the first semester that I was here, just to make the team. And then once making the team, like, understanding of, wow, this is where I'm coming from. When I go to other countries, this is what I'm representing. I don't want to be loud, messy. Like, I want to be respectful of other, like, countries, but I want them to understand where I'm coming from and, like, what I'm representing. And so it was like, I'm carrying BYU on my back. I'm not only carrying that, but I'm carrying my country on the back.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you get tired of a very long trip, because it was really, 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 really long, you just have to zoom out and think of it's bigger than yourself.
Wow. So that's great perspective. As we talked to Suli Davis on BYU Sports Nation, you mentioned it was the first time actually making the team. So people don't understand, maybe. You get selected on the roster, but then you have to make the squad that actually travels and competes. What was that moment like for you?
Oh, my goodness. I've been waiting for this moment for, like, 4 years. I've been on the team for about 3 years, and so...
So 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, 16, 17, 18, and, oh, my goodness. It's so nerve-wracking going to the tryout, but you just have to zoom out and be like, all right, just play volleyball, do your best. Like, you show up, you do what you're taught, and then you just play volleyball. But for that moment for me, oh my goodness, it was just getting cut 2 years, being told no. It sucks, but then it's like, how are you going to respond to it? Do you want to just quit the sport, go play basketball or something, or you're going to keep going at it? You still want to achieve your dreams? And so when I got the roster, it's very, like, it's not cutthroat, but you just get a roster of, if your name's on the list, you made the team. If you're not on the list, then you have a meeting after that.
So there's no phone call or a text? You just see the roster?
Yeah, so tryout, and then one of the nights is we have a scrimmage in our red, white, and blue jerseys, and then we have that night of where they send out the roster. And then the next day we practice as a team, even if you got cut or not. And then
that's a little awkward if you get cut.
It's a little awkward, but they teach us young. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
I had to do it 2 years.
So an
I
email
remember.
Comes,
yeah.
And then you're just looking down to see.
Yeah, so
to see your
like
name, and then you see
and
it.
And try and find your name. When I saw my name, like, I didn't see my name. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't. Where's my name? Where's my name? Like, I don't know. I read it like
you're
a thousand
in fight or flight.
Times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a. All I could do was just like. I know what it felt like to be cut,
yeah.
But I know what it's like to make the team. So it was like some of my best friends on the team, some of them didn't make it, some of them did make it, and so it's just like I feel for both. So I'm excited and I'm happy, but I understand the hard work that the other girls put in too. So yeah.
And you don't just make the team, you're the best outside hitter in the tournament. What did that mean to you? Because that's a big deal at the U19s. Championships.
Oh, I still can't even, like, I can't believe it. Like, until I, like, look at things, I'm like, wow. Like, we just played in the World Championship. All countries, that's their goal, to make it to the tournament and then to win the tournament. And so I don't even know. I didn't even start off as an outside. I was actually playing at right side.
I saw that.
But I was a double sub. So international volleyball, it's a little different. Ball is different. Rules different. Subs, there's only 6 subs. And so I was actually a double sub on the sideline. So I didn't play much. And I was just like, you know what? It is what it is. Whatever it takes for this team to win, when I get my opportunity, go shine. And so got my opportunity sometimes, and I just did what I could and did what it, if it was on the sideline, if it's on the court, whatever I had to do to help the team win. And then this came. So I didn't really... When you're in the moment, you just don't feel like, you don't feel like, it, you don't feel the best. Like, you just competing to be the best. So, I don't know. Having this, it's great. But it's still coming to me. But, I don't know. We still have a season, so.
August 7th, the Cougars will be back practicing for your freshman year. But after this experience, when you roll into camp, do you feel like a freshman? Or do you kind of feel like... Hey, I'm further down the road now. I'm ready to do it right now.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm not a freshman. I'm not a senior. I've been here a semester, but now that I've been here a semester, it's kind of helped develop of like, okay, this is how it's going to roll. All right, like, let's just kick it. Let's go into season. Let's go have fun. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like a freshman, but then I'm like, okay, wait. I'm about to play college volleyball.
So you can walk into the gym, go, the outside hitter's here. We're ready to go. And everyone's going, yeah, I guess she is.
Play a little, we'll go. There's other outside hitters, too. I'm excited to see the pairing of the two of you.
Yeah.
And others. There's a lot of great players on the team. It'll be a lot of fun. I did want to ask you about, you train, I believe, was it Colorado Springs in the United States? Then you go to the Netherlands for a little bit. And then you compete in Croatia. So what was, you talked about kind of a month. What was that month like of... being on the road and being with people you may have met before, maybe not.
No, it was really, really cool. So we all met in Dallas, all of our team from all of our colleges met in Dallas, traveled to the Netherlands. We competed, well, we stayed at their Olympic center or training center, which was like, I was like, oh snap. Like,
for a bunch of sports?
Yes.
All of them?
So there was like boxing, like they're just walking everywhere. I don't know what they're saying, but like they're just everywhere. And I don't know what sport they play. I'm just, wow. But we did that. We stayed there. We scrimmaged the Netherlands team and the Chile team just to prepare us for what was going to come. So we saw a couple topspin serves, just getting used to, like, time difference because, oh, my goodness, we got there. We were so jet lagged. It was like, okay, go to sleep, but, like, we have to wait a whole bunch of hours even though we've just traveled just to go to sleep. So getting used to that, it was really, really nice. But then after that, we went to the Netherlands – or, no, then we went to Croatia, and that was just right off the bat, just go, like, play a game. We had 3 days off total within those 2 weeks of the tournament. But it was just really, really cool. Like, practice in the morning, lunch, dinner. We had off time for recovery, and then we would play every night at 9:15. So it'd be the last game. So we would get home at like 12:30, go to sleep around 1:30. But we went to a lot of five-set matches, so we'd kind of go to sleep around 2. So it was just, yeah, that was kind of our day in the life.
Well, so now you go from Provo, instead of Netherlands and Kosovo, it'll be Provo to Manhattan, Kansas, to Morgantown. Yeah. How eager are you to compete in the Big 12?
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to go to Kansas, but I cannot wait to go to Texas, like,
yeah,
to play back in Texas. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited.
I'm seeing Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU on the road, which is cool. I imagine a bunch of family will be there. Talk to us about your journey, because I believe you grew up somewhere else, and then you moved to Texas later?
Yeah, so I grew up in Hawaii. I lived there until I was about 12, and then my dad was in the military, so we had to move, and we moved to Arizona for a couple months. He retired medically, and then we're like, do you want to move back to Hawaii, or, I don't know, just stay in Arizona? And then Texas kind of just, I think the spirit really just guided us there, and then picked up our stuff, left, and we went mainly for my brother, for football, because it's just big there. And then that's when I started playing volleyball. So, I don't know, just started off with soccer and basketball, and then volleyball came when I came to Texas.
Well, thank goodness it got here.
Exactly. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you so much.
I know it's been a wild summer for you, and now you get hopefully a little bit of time off before practice starts August 7th. And then, of course, you guys play August 29th in Smith Fieldhouse.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It'll be exciting. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's great being here.
Suli Davis, silver medalist, best outside hitter at the U19s.
Thank you.
If you have missed any of our shows or interviews, want to see this one again, which was awesome, it's waiting for you at BYUSN.com. All our content on demand.
Who do you believe has the better all-quarter century BYU football fantasy team? Dave or myself? Vote, because we're going to tally the...
Vote McCann.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Of the day today, who has the better all-quarter century BYU football fantasy team? Right now, I'm leading 62% to 38.
The common sense people will be voting later today.
Nice try, Dave, at Jonathan Lingo on X.
This is fantasy football.
It's fantasy, no wizards and stuff.
Points, yards, touchdowns.
Yeah. A fantasy draft without Zach Wilson being drafted to me means you need more people in your league. Like we said, there's only two of us.
Today was a two-man show.
Oh, I think we're going to do this again. That was a lot of fun. And next year we should have a couple more of us in, and I think that would be spectacular. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, at Rowdy and the Rock on X, at Jerem Jordan by a long shot. Sorry, at Dave McCann TV.
Look, I can't compete against your nephews and cousins and stuff like that. But
I did meet and hang out with Rowdy and the Rock, so we do have a relationship now. Yeah.
That's an inside hit. Those are two really good rosters.
Oh my gosh.
Saturday, there's a lot of points coming from both sides. We'll see when the dust settles, we'll see what the number looks like.
We did a fantasy style kind of competition a couple of years ago, and whoever had Jaren Hall won week to week.
Yeah.
And I think it was 21 and
quarterback.
It was just too dominating. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Of course, Jane Hedegren getting the ESPY last night for the Female Gatorade National Player of the Year.
How about that?
Look at this,
also, look at this
picture here. That's Cameron Boozer, picked up from basketball as he and AJ went at each other in the McDonald's game and all that stuff.
But they will be for a long time in the NBA, too.
Yeah. But shout out to Jane. She's just about won everything. She's rewritten the record books, and she's come into a program that's the best in the country and the best in the Big 12. I mean, what a fit for Hedegren at BYU.
We could see her in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Maybe 28 in L.A., 32, and I can't remember where it's going to be. That's amazing. Congratulations to Jane. Thanks to today's guests, Matt Berry and Suli Davis. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We didn't run out of time because I actually drafted you. So we gave you some time today.
Yeah. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com. That guy right there is on my team. So is that one.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Brian Mitchell. Join us tomorrow for BYU football. Remembering the 90s. Go Cougs. And vote for me.